Proverbs 27, beginning in verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. And so we sharpen one another's faces. There's a positive effect on one another's character, on one another's encouragement, on one another's mindset, attitude. Because our flesh does not respond well enough to the fact that we are before the face of God, right? God says in the first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me." And we have studied before, what do the words "before me" mean? And God who seeth all things taketh notice of and is much displeased with the sin of having any other gods. He seeth all things, we're always before his face. But often we find that we are doing something wrong or not thinking in a quite right way or have a bad heart attitude or whatever it is, and then somebody else walks in and immediately we start to shape up. We do right, or we are brought back to our senses and are immediately ashamed and repent of the attitudes that perhaps had appeared on our countenance, on our face, and then our friend walks in, and what do? We immediately correct what's on our face. And as we correct what's on our face, we realize that it was reflecting what was in our hearts, and it is a help to us. And so God has not only given us to live before his face, but as a help to us, because our flesh does not respond as well or as sensitively to being before the face of God, he gives us friends who are godly ones in the land, Psalm 16, whose faces sharpen our faces, just like iron can be kept sharp by sharpening it with other iron, or like when you use a knife on a honing rod that sets all the teeth in the same direction, the microscopic teeth. Okay, so we are to be that way for one another, and we are to receive that from one another. And we are therefore to seek out companions who will sharpen us in the right direction. Verse 18, whoever keeps the fig tree will eat its fruit. God has designed that hard work pays off. Now, sometimes we are frustrated. This is a world that is bound to corruption and decay. And yet, God in his common grace, just as he promises to Moses, not Moses, mercy, to Noah and his family when they get off the ark, that he will maintain a significant amount of orderliness to his creation that was originally built in despite our sin and despite the fall and despite it being bound to corruption and decay. And so God uses the ordinary, normal workings out of life to reinforce for us the discipline of loving him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So whether we eat or drink or whatever we do all to the glory of God. And when that comes to working, we work not so much for our master on earth, but for our master in heaven. And we learn to work hard and be self-disciplined. Whoever keeps the fig tree will eat its fruit. God has even built into the plants the reward of studying and knowing and practicing and persistence and planning. All of these things you can see even in the way his creation operates, that he has designed to reward those things. Whoever keeps the fig tree will eat its fruit. So he who waits on his master will be honored. We need to accept from God that the place that we have in life is assigned by him. It's a little bit easier, I think, or maybe not, because of your flesh and your inherent sin when you're a child. That's pretty much a function of time. You are less time experienced than mom and dad. And since we are the parents and you are the children, you are set under us and we are over you. You're your authority. We direct, and may even ask you to serve your mom, or and many of you often cheer my heart by how eager you are to serve me, and I hope that you feel that you are rewarded in kind with the appreciation that I communicate and the pleasure that I take in you. A little harder for those who are in lower socioeconomic condition, those who did not get themselves to a place where they are the owner of the business or partner in the firm or so forth, and in almost all human societies in the history of the world, in the place of a master, as you said, would be an employee or a lower level worker, even in some kind of salaried profession, or in most societies in the history of the world, a servant, a house servant, or a slave, someone who's a member of the household in that way, or someone who is indentured because of debt or whatever it is. But that, too, is something that is assigned by God in His providence. And where we find ourselves in His providence, we ought to work hard, just like with the fig tree, just like with the working hard and keeping and planning and persistence, perseverance, cheerful, doing everything for the glory of God. God has designed that you keep the fig tree, you eat the fruit. So also, if you find yourself in what many would consider an undesirable condition, you can change the undesirability of it to yourself by saying, "The Lord has placed me here." Now, if He gives you opportunity to get your freedom, to earn enough money that you can buy your freedom, or to advance in your organization, or take a higher job somewhere else, or something like that, you can take it. That, too, is given by the Lord. But it keeps you from begrudging, and it sets before you the principle, so he who waits on his master will be honored, and you can be cheerful and hardworking in whatever place you want. It is the Lord's providence and serving Him that we are to find fulfilling. There is a lie that has been sold in America for the last 60 or 70 years ago. Generations before that wouldn't have even recognized it. There's a lie that you have to find the job or the career or the position that you find fulfilling. And that says the obligation for fulfillment lies in my circumstances. And they did that because they were also selling and subsidizing with tons of government money, and still are, college, where you go and you spend six figures on something you don't even know what it is before you start buying it. And as you go along, you kind of figure out what you want to major in. And then you graduate with something utterly useless and try to find a job that you find fulfilling. Or you find a job in your major and it's miserable because you are a miserable person. And you say, "Oh, this is not fulfilling." And so you continue to pay for the rest of your life for that stupid thing. Or other people's money just got flushed down the toilet. No! Fulfillment is found in receiving your position as something that is given to you in God's providence and doing it unto Him out of love and thankfulness and honoring Him, offering your body as a living sacrifice. And He has actually built in that if you find your fulfillment that way, then you will be honored. I love you guys. I love how, because of you guys' affection for me, you think that Daddy working in McDonald's during college was some really cool thing. There are very few people on earth who think that having worked at McDonald's is a cool thing. But if you receive it as something in the providence of God, and you do it unto the glory of God, then you can, later on in life, tell your children stories about how you would come on the shift and manager would send three people home, or four people home, because you were replacing them, and the favor that you had, and the witness that it gave you the ability to have when there were others who wanted to have a similar cheerfulness and joy, and they were going through a season of life, and they knew that you had something that they didn't, or whatever it is. Sliding around on greasy floors with pants that you will never get the stale French fry smell out of, can be a high calling. It can be fulfilling if the Lord Himself is your fulfillment, and if you find it enjoyable to serve Him as well as possible wherever He has put you. There is no dungeon in the world that the key of the gospel cannot open for you, though the circumstances remain the same. Okay, so as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Often what is on our face reveals that we are forgetting that we are before God's face. And God brings into the picture the face of our friend, which is a reminder. And He sharpens our face. He fixes us. He helps us to remember that we're before the face of God, and we help one another. And whoever keeps the fig tree will eat its fruit. God's blessing upon hard work and planning and perseverance and those things. And so he who waits on his master will be honored. You may be in the place of a servant, but that's in the providence of God. Receive it from God, and receive also that he is pleased in the wisdom of his providence to reward your finding his providence to you fulfilling and doing everything in your place as unto him. And so serving well, even in a position like that. Let's pray. Our Lord, how we thank you for your Son, our Lord Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. We praise you for your eternal plan of redemption and how you have perfectly and persistently carried it out. And now we pray that we would be children of our Father in heaven and be conformed to the image of our perfect elder brother, the only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus, as your Spirit applies to us this passage, and that we may bring you much glory by displaying your wisdom in our lives, and that you would gladden us by the enjoyment of you in the midst of it. We ask it in Christ's name, and your children here say,
Amen.
Amen.